Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 30th, 2016. With me today, Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I am a triumph.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Being is a triumph.
Yeah,
well, I am not a triumph. The fact that I am is a triumph.
Your existence in and of itself is a triumph. I will accept that. John Martellaro, how are you?
I am triumph the insult dog. Wake up, Brian.
You know, I was wondering if anyone was going to go down the triumph the insult dog path. Now we know who it was. It was John.
Now we know.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Atlassian, which is pretty cool. We'll talk about them soon. What I'd like to talk about right now is Senator Elizabeth Warren.
My hero.
Well, we all need heroes, so that's great. All right, so the reason I want to talk about her today is because she says that there are some problems with Silicon Valley and that we have some big companies that are totally dominating the market, and this is a problem. And the companies that she is singling out, is it really singling out when it's three companies, or it would be tripling out?
I think you would still say it's figuratively singling out.
All right. I knew you'd have an answer because you've got my pedantry covered.
Yeah, yes, I do. I have everyone's pedantry covered.
And I do appreciate that. We all do, Brian. Anyhow, so she is singling out Apple, Amazon, and Google. And she targeted specific things the companies are doing. And she says that Apple has put conditions in place that make it difficult for rivals to compete in the streaming music market. And
she's right.
And then on Amazon, she says that Amazon is using its position as the dominant player in the bookseller market to drive sales to their own store, and then also to books that they are publishing.
Did they have any help?
She's not really right there.
Well, halfway right.
Because she's halfway right. I don't really think Amazon, unless she's talking about self-published books. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway,
that's point two.
All right. So then point three is Google, and Google is manipulating the internet search market to favor its own business and services reviews over those from competing companies such as Yelp. And so there you go. That's what she's calling out. And she says that this consolidation that we're seeing in the marketplace is very dangerous. So, Brian, you clearly had some thoughts as I was going through this. What do you think?
Well, I mean, she's largely right. I mean, the large tech companies use their largeness to try to put other companies out of business to perpetuate their own strengths. Microsoft did it for a long time back when Microsoft was a thing. LOL. Mm-hmm. And Apple does it today. I have personally argued that Apple, that there are places where Apple demands 30% from App Store revenues in ways that give it a significant advantage over rivals. Spotify and Pandora, et cetera, would be one area of this where the rivals have to pay Apple 30%, but that same 30% Apple pays to itself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that gives Apple a leg up. Now, Spotify is still larger than Apple, of course, than Apple Music, I mean. Mm-hmm. And Spotify doesn't actually make any money and will probably never, ever make any money and probably needs to be owned by a platform or a larger company that doesn't care about whether or not it makes money.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yes. On a side note-ish, today's the 1-year anniversary of Apple Music. And on that 1 year anniversary, Apple currently has half the number of paid subscribers as Spotify. So 15 million to 30 million. And meaning Apple is 15 million, Spotify is 30 million. So anyhow, I'm just tossing that out there so you have a little bit more info to play with.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that she would specifically target Apple Music when Apple Music is not the dominant player. But Apple Music will probably be the dominant music streaming service on iOS sooner rather than later. It may take later, but it probably sooner.
Yeah. My assumption is that by the time Apple Music hits its 2 year anniversary, it will have achieved that dominance, at least on Apple's own platforms.
Yeah, at least on Apple's own platforms. And so, I mean, you know, I'm not really interested in knee-jerk responding, a knee-jerk defending of Apple, because I think she has a very significant point, even if the details don't quite match up to reality. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is a very, very intelligent woman. Mm-hmm. Wherever you stand politically, I know that the right likes to demonize her. I'm not particularly interested in that demonization. She is a very, very intelligent woman. She is one of the few politicians that actually seems focused on protecting consumers, like her and Al, the comedian.
Al Sharpton.
No, the comedian.
No. I'm mixing names together today. I clearly need
Al Franken.
Al Franken.
Al Franken. Thank you. Yeah, it's like her and Al Franken are the only two politicians that seem really hyper focused on protecting consumers and maintaining competition and you know and Al Franken of course is hyper focused on privacy. But as she's got a point here. She's got a point here with Apple, and she's got a point with Google, and she's got a point with Amazon.
Yeah, she does. Now the implication the train of thought from where she's, wow, sentences are really hard for me today. Okay. So when you look at what she's saying, the logical path is that she wants to do something about large companies having this sort of control in marketplaces. So then the next question is that appropriate?
I don't think I'm quite on her side on this. Oh, I keep remembering how much trouble Apple was in the late 90s and how Apple was poorly run and vice presidents were looking out for themselves and stuffing their own pockets and doing channel stuffing and buying Porsches with the shipments, but then taking tax write-offs when the products are returned. I keep thinking about how Apple was struggling to get its products out in the market, in the office supply stores and the little bite shops. And then those stores were taking a bit of the profit. And Apple figured out eventually, you know, if we have our own stores, we can provide great customer service. And we don't have to pay somebody else to carry our products. And we have a nice watering hole for people to get help. You know, so Apple's done all sorts of smart things. And we constantly contrast how smart it was in its Apple stores compared to the gateway stores that failed. And so the internet and technical mechanisms and smart leadership has led to success on the parts of these companies. And where those companies violate federal antitrust law or do something illegal, yes, I agree with Elizabeth Warren. They should be called to task for specific violations of laws. And if the government wants stronger consumer protection laws in place, then they should put them there. But to just seemingly complain about the wild success of Amazon and Apple and Google because they're smart and shrewd and they hire really smart people and they do smart things and they please the customers. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on this.
Balderdashing.
But I knew you would. The insult dog is ready to pounce.
You've got to. I'm not really sure what you want here, because you know, at what point does one complain about the predations of large companies? I mean, do you wait until they become abusive monopolies? You know, you're not allowed to say anything up until then. I mean,
Volkswagen. Look at Volkswagen. They just got a $13 billion fine from the U.S. government, which they're going to have to pay $10 billion to customers and a $2.7 billion fine to pay up. No, big companies can be dealt with when they do something really, really wrong. So I disagree with you.
That's an apples and oranges comparison. Volkswagen falsified data. And they're being dinged for it, and they're not in a monopoly position. They're not, you know, Volkswagen's fine is not because they were abusing their power to lock competition out. They falsified data.
We need to decide what we think is right and wrong. We have lots of federal laws in place about corporate violations and violations of the Securities and Exchange Commission rules and consumer protection laws and warranty laws and. Those are all into place. I'm not quite sure what she's complaining about other than the ability of the companies to succeed and do well. By
well, okay, let's look
decisions.
At the Apple specific thing here. Do you not think that it's a bit of a conflict of interest that Apple can artificially hamper its competition by charging them 30% where the Apple doesn't have to pay that 30%? And
that's why I brought up the example of the Apple retail stores. Is it fair for Apple to open a store and pocket the profits instead of selling its Apple Macintoshes and iPhones through Best Buy?
How is that in any way whatsoever related?
Well, it's the same thing. You have a storefront, you know, and you pay yourself. And if somebody else wants to be in your store, then you take a bit of the profit.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing in that it's utterly different. I see your point.
But I disagree.
I'm with Brian on this one. I think the whole retail comparison doesn't work, but.
Actually, to John's point, I better understand where John's coming from. John is essentially saying that the App Store and Apple retail stores are similar. Is that correct, John?
Sure. In the business philosophy, we open a store. You know, we invite customers to come in. We pocket the profits on the products we sell. If you want to be in our store, just like Best Buy says, if you want to put your router in our store, then we're going to take a percentage of the profit because we built the brick and mortar stores and we hire staff and we present your products on the shelves. And so
services, I do hear where you're coming from, but I think the flaw in that logic is that services are different than selling physical products.
Well, when Apple did it originally, we all said, well, this is 30% is common. This is what everybody else is doing. There is overhead. There are data centers to maintain this data. There's the overhead at administration. There's the user interface. There's software to be written. There's the iTunes app that's ready for the wood chipper to be modified and updated. So digital doesn't mean free. It just is a different mechanism.
But the problem here is that it gives Apple a significant advantage against would-be competitors.
Well, Apple's figured out to be a smart competitor. And if that doesn't work for other competitors, it's up for them to rally the money. Do great work, create products that people stand in line for
Spotify,
at 5 a.m. in the morning.
But so new companies and competitors in this case, you know, Spotify. But by the way, I'm not a fan of Spotify. I think they do. I'm not a fan of Spotify because their business model makes zero sense, and they're never going to make any money, and that annoys the crap out of me. But.
And
Spotify can't have its own platform, and new companies can't make their own platform. So, you know, Apple and Google Play, Google with the Google Play Store and Apple with the App Store, I think an excellent argument could be made that they need to play by separate rules because of their dominance. Just like Amazon, I personally believe should play by separate rules because of its dominance.
There was a time in 1996 when Apple almost didn't make payroll, and Microsoft was king, and it looked like Apple was going to die. And Apple picked itself up by its bootstraps. Steve Jobs resurrected the company, and they learned how to compete. And look where they are now compared to Microsoft.
Well, and don't forget, Microsoft also invested money in Apple because they wanted to make sure that they looked less like a monopoly.
Sure.
So there was that. Hey, I have a quote from Spotify about Senator Warren's comments, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
So this comes from Jonathan Prince, and he's Spotify's global head of communications and public policy. So here's what he said. Apple has long used its control of iOS to squash competition in music, driving up the prices of its competitors, inappropriately forbidding us from telling our customers about lower prices, and giving itself unfair advantages across its platform through everything from the lock screen to Siri. You know there's something wrong when Apple makes more off a Spotify subscription than it does off an Apple Music subscription and doesn't share any of that with the music industry. They want to have their cake and eat everyone else's too.
It's just whining. People who are on the losing side of competition are always claiming that they're oppressed and the winner is playing by crooked rules. I don't believe a word of it.
Right.
I mean, if you succeed, compete, be smart, and you'll be okay.
Spotify has a propensity towards whining, for sure. I think there's at least merit to much of those comments.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to give them a pat on the back and support?
No, do what Google Play does. Google Play doesn't charge the 30% to subscription services.
Well, every company has its own attitude and their financial model and approach.
Yeah, and some of them are right and some of them are wrong. I think that Apple's insistence, for instance, I never could understand why Apple, I always end up bringing this up, and it's changed, and so I'm wrong, and I'm going to stop myself now. Go ahead, John. Sorry. I apologize. I lost my
turn. No, I've said my piece. I'm not supporting illegal activities. I'm not supporting abuse. But what I'm saying is that Apple has shown itself to be an exceptionally shrewd and smart competitor. And the goal in business is to figure out what people's weaknesses are and holes in their product line and the silly things that they do that are self-defeating and exploit that. And when a company does it, it looks predatory because the losers whine. But there's nothing illegal about what Apple's doing in that respect. If it were illegal, they would have been hauled into court long ago.
Well, they were hauled into court for iBooks, and I actually... Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not talking about iBooks. And
I actually disagree with that. So that's the other thing that Elizabeth Warren was talking about is Amazon's predictions, and I most fervently agree with her there.
Right. And I do find some irony in the fact that she's calling out Amazon when the Department of Justice and the federal courts, Judge Denise Coates specifically, basically gave Amazon their approval to continue acting in a predatory fashion.
It's true. Yeah.
I agree with Elizabeth on that one.
So, well, then why don't your rules apply, your philosophies here apply to Amazon? Amazon is just smart. Amazon has just figured out how to do all this stuff better, so they deserve to reap the rewards of their success.
The DOJ gave Amazon its blessing, as we just said, to do something nefarious. The Department of Justice hasn't said anything about Apple's charging 30%. If they thought that was illegal or predatory or anti-competitive,
but Elizabeth Warren's point, I don't understand why something needs to be expressly illegal for someone to voice a concern about it. I mean, that makes no sense to me. I mean, if behavior is a concern to you, you shouldn't be prohibited from bringing it up until it becomes illegal. That makes no sense. why shouldn't she talk about this if she thinks it's important?
Well, she's certainly free to talk about it, but I just am expressing some mild concern that maybe she doesn't understand fully the history of Apple and how it has been so foresightful to invest. Remember, several times during recessions, Steve Jobs mentioned that the company was investing in its future and actually spending money because it was a good time to build their resources. Every other company was cutting back, laying people off. I mean, I was at Apple during a recession, and they weren't laying people off. They were planning for the future. Smart leadership sometimes looks to be predatory when it's just successful and plays well in the marketplace and makes customers happy. And
consequences
I think, are relevant. I think Apple has done some things wrong, and I call them to task. When I'm upset with Apple on certain things, you know, I'm always standing at the front of the line to beat on Apple when they deserve it and they're screwing up something. But just complaining about Apple in general without knowing their history and the decisions.
Why does she have to know their history? So Apple should get,
I don't know you. Because Apple's not big because they're illegal or mean or crushing the competition by sending Vito over with a .38 revolver and extracting, you know, payment money. Apple's successful because people love their products. And that love of Apple and what they're trying to do and the appreciation for Apple's support of our privacy and security and the leadership of Tim Cook and the quality that's built into iPhones and their dedication to build only the best percolates into society.
So that should give an Apple a pass on things that someone might be concerned about?
In your opinion, a pass on things that annoy you? Well, yeah, I'll give them a pass on things that annoy Brian.
All right. As much as I would love to sit back and keep eating popcorn and watching this, we have to move on because we're out of time. So I want to tell everyone about Atlassian before we wrap up. Atlassian is a company that makes all these great collaboration tools so that whatever project you're working on can be easier to get through and you'll lose less hair. So they make Jira, which handles all the task management that goes along with your projects, Confluence, so that all the various elements that need to come together, content, all of that kind of stuff. It manages all of that for your project. Then you have HipChat so that everyone can communicate in real time, text and video. And then you have Bitbucket so that if you're working on code projects, all the different elements of whatever your application is going to be have one repository where everything can get checked out and managed. And it's just a really good system because everything fits together seamlessly, which is exactly what you want. So what you need to do is go check them out. Their website is atlassian.com. That's atlassian.com. And see what they have that's going to help your next collaboration project turn out even better. And with that, we really are out of time. So we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely.
And this is a lot of fun. And John, thank you for being here too.
You're welcome. I love you, Brian.
Oh, I love you too, John. You know that I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah, you guys are the best. And I love having you both on because when we have differing opinions, you guys are so great about expressing them in gentlemanly ways.
No. John is the gentleman. I'm the person who's going to say what he thinks is on his mind. John holds back all the time because he's a gentleman.
Oh, that's a good point.
Credit where credit is due. John is the biggest gentleman in the Mac blogosphere.
Shucks. Yeah. All right. So, John.
My face is red.
I do appreciate that you are a proper gentleman, so thank you for that. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.